Hey, everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian, and I'm joined by the man that is forever on a liquid diet, Rich Stambolian.
Howdy ho, baby. Howdy ho. Ooh, look at that. Representing that Matt Men the podcast t-shirt. What's going on, man?
Matt Men the podcast t-shirt. I'm rocking a different podcast t-shirt. Jonathan, the guy that does all our Photoshop. So if you guys do the watch alongs with us, it becomes a real S show. I'm censoring myself today. I was told that I was cursing too much. So. I'm going to censor myself today. No, from one of the advertisers, the ad company. So I'm gonna try to be good today. So if you're watching the watch alongs, which is a total insanity filled 4-hour stream, Jonathan makes these crazy Photoshops on the fly. You know, like he'll just make these crazy Photoshops of me. Rich will put me in very bizarre predicaments, like taking a dump. I think I was taking a noodle dump and like by a tree as enchanté. So it becomes a whole thing. So he sent me the shirt. It says make podcasts great again. And I absolutely love it. Credit to him. If he's in the chat room, guys, put it in the chat. I'll put a link in the show notes as well. If he sends it over. So I wanted to wear this and we were talking before the show. I'm like, how many dweebs are going to complain that I'm wearing this?
You know. You should definitely do like 6 dabs in a row while wearing that shirt.
You want me to do it? Dabbing was my fate. So why did everybody love the dab? You want me to do it again?
Because it's terrible.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, please. Here we go.
I like how you have to set it up too.
Oh, boy. Guys, we do have a lot to talk about today. Obviously, we're doing a show on a Friday. Not our regular time frame. You know, by the way, I think dweebs needs to become a thing for the show. Irks and dweebs. We're going to start calling people Urkels, and we're going to start calling people dweebs. That's what we're doing now. That's
jerkles?
The direction. Jerkles? What?
Yeah. I think... did you watch Family Matters when you were a kid?
Oh, I love that show, man.
I think Eddie Winslow called him Steve Jerkle at some point.
Oh, my God. My brother... This is the God's honest truth, and then we'll go into wrestling. My brother thought that the grandmother... On Family Matters,
Grandma Rose,
yeah. the old grandma was my great grandmother, just like a little darker,
like convinced
that was Yaya, convinced.
Wow.
And then we were trying to explain to him. I'm like, listen, this is like an older black woman. Your great grandmother's not black, nor on TV would not care. That was our great grandmother.
But she's so famous. Your brother's like really off the boat, right?
Off the boat, yeah, yeah.
But she's so famous, brother Andrew. Why is Yaya so famous?
Why is Yaya so famous? So a lot to talk about today, Rich. We did a watch along. You joined us for a little bit on Sunday. That was a lot of fun for Extreme Rules. Really enjoyed.
I was there
it.
For almost the whole thing.
Were you? No, you.
I'm pretty sure.
No, you came in. You came in later.
I came in late, and I stood there for like 2 hours just talking about how Samoa Joe looks like Hugo Savinovich.
Dude, that was the best, and we got the Photoshops of that. That was phenomenal. You know what we should do? We should have a page on the website, on the Matt Men site, that all the Photoshops go on. Or we just start posting it on Patreon, like a lunatic, and not explain what's going on.
Absolutely.
Just start posting those Photoshops on there.
That's going to be our OnlyFans tier.
Yeah, that's our OnlyFans tier. Just my bizarro Photoshops. It was fun. Listen, I enjoyed it because I was doing it with everybody, but I rewatched it on Monday and I was like, yuck. It was a bizarre show, which we'll talk about a little bit. I do want to concentrate more on what happened during the week because it was a very good week for wrestling. I thought NXT was a good, really good show. I thought AEW... knocked it out of the park, and you could tell by the viewership it really helped. They had a big boost in viewership week over week. You know, we're starting to realize that there's really only about a million and a half people that are willing to watch this weekly on a Wednesday. When it comes to wrestling, and it's kind of in line with what we're getting with Raw and SmackDown and everything else. It might be time to start talking about what if AEW or NXT moved their day. To start discussing. I'll tell you, I think the conversation would be healthy to have, especially for NXT, which is not getting a lot of love over the last, you know, year. By the way, today was the day last year when they announced AEW was debuting on TNT in October.
Oh, wow.
So think, just think about that. You know, first of all, it feels like 10 years ago at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's, where do you want to start, Rich? You pick.
Let's quickly go over Extreme Rules.
The horror show.
The horror show.
At Extreme Rules.
Yeah. It was, I would say, a
C.
A C. C. Yeah.
Maybe I'll go C minus.
I'll give it a C. I'll give it like a weak C. It's bordering on C minus for me.
Yeah, you know what? I'm in the same boat as you. I 100% yeah. I agree. Let's go and down this card. Very quick show. It ended at like 9:30. Very, very quick
I like
show.
That.
Yeah. You know, right before, I think we were talking about, before you came on, we were talking about, you know, when are they going to end the show? I can't see with seven matches how they're going to run late. But they ran, I thought it was very quick, ended very fast. That aspect I liked. Kevin Owens, Buddy Murphy. He's just Murphy now, pre-show match. I don't know if you saw that one, Rich, because you came in after.
I forgot what I was doing. I was just like hanging out all day on Sunday and totally forgot the pay-per-view was on. And then I was like, I saw a tweet from you. And then I was like, oh, I should go and do this.
So I got to tell you, I'm going to be honest. I don't know why it was a C show, because there were many matches that I very much liked. Mm-hmm. Right. I think the problem with the show was the finishes. They had a very strange way of doing these finishes, and we'll talk about it, right? So the opening match, which I absolutely love, was Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura defeating the New Day, consisting of Big E and Kofi Kingston, for the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championship. They ran 10 minutes and 25 seconds. Man, what a great match. Very good match. Mm-hmm. What did you think of it?
I enjoyed it, but I think I agree with you that it should have been a higher rated show for both of us, but I do think the shortness of some of the matches maybe had something to do with it. This was like a quick 10-minute match, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, very good match. I was not expecting it, and that's always the best part of it, right? When you're surprised by the match. Then you had Bayley with Sasha Banks defeating Nikki Cross with Alexa Bliss for the WWE SmackDown SmackDown Women's Championship. She retained. I thought this was a phenomenal match. I thought Nikki Cross looked great. Bayley has come to life in this new character. Sasha Banks has come to life in this new character. Was a very, very good match. I really liked 12 minutes, 20 seconds. Long enough. Great. So far, we're doing well, right? So far, we are on a good track. There's so far three matches, three pretty good matches. Now you had Seth Rollins, Rey Mysterio. If it wasn't for the stipulation of this match, I would have said this was an unbelievable match.
You know what ruined that match for me?
The eyeball gouging?
No, Seth Rollins puking after the match. I feel like if they didn't have him puke to show like some kind of remorse, I would have been fine with that. I would have been like, I would have been fine. I would have been happier if Seth was like, and I'll take your other eye next time, and then walked away instead of being like, oh no, I did something wrong. So, and then like threw up, you know?
I think the whole concept was hokey. So him vomiting didn't really affect that concept of the match for me.
Mm-hmm.
So for people who don't know, at the end of the match, if you were paying attention, you got to see Rey Mysterio's eyeball out of his eye, right? They had a glass eye that they were using that was bloodied. It wasn't just supposed to be that. They actually edited out the CGI effects where you got to see the eye out more. Vince hated it. He thought it looked really bad, so he removed it and just they went with that aspect. That's why there was this weird cut at that point. I don't know how much that would have affected the match. If Vince is saying that it was hokey, it had to have been hokey.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So, all right, listen, good match, weird ending. Okay, fine. Now we're at another match with a very bizarre ending that I did not understand the concept of this booking. This was a booking disaster. Asuka, the champion with Kairi Sane, versus Sasha Banks with Bayley. It ended in a no contest.
20 minutes.
So the way they did this was Let me pull this up. The way they did this is that there was a Bizarro ref bump. The match was really good. Sasha looked great. They had this Bizarro finish where there was a ref bump, there was a miss spot, and Bailey put on the ref shirt and counted the pin, and they rang the bell, and Sasha was the champion leaving. Obviously, it's a no contest. But think about it the day of, right? They did not say the day of that this is a no contest, this doesn't count, she stole the belt. They went with this weird no contest, essentially, right? Where she took the belt and left. We also saw a bizarre moment where they didn't list this, surprisingly. I don't know why this is not on the list here for the results, but we saw MVP claim to be the champion, right?
Yeah, and they just apparently they just signed him to like a long-term deal.
Okay, so that's going to play a part in this. But Apollo Crews could not compete because I believe he has COVID. They did this weird thing where the champion couldn't compete, and now the champion is who? Who's the champion? I don't know.
MVP. It's MVP, and you got Shelton Benjamin. Yeah.
We got to talk about the New Nation also. That's a whole separate thing we got to talk about.
We'll go into that later.
Apollo Crews, by the way, is still the champion. According to WWE.com, Apollo Crews is the U.S. champion. And Asuka is the women's champion, the Raw women's champion. So I don't know how they've decided this.
It's like two weird hokey finishes in the same pay-per-view.
Yeah, very hokey finish. And then we got a third hokey finish at the end, which we'll talk about. So then you had Drew McIntyre defeating Dolph Ziggler. Okay. That's over. Didn't really care for that match.
I checked out during that match.
And then you had Bray Wyatt facing Braun Strowman in a Wyatt Swamp fight.
Loved it.
It was cool.
100% loved it.
It was fine. The finish was weird. Who won?
Bray Wyatt.
Who won the match? Did he?
It was like the end of Jason goes to hell and you see like the Freddy Claw come back.
Yeah, I who knows who won? There was no finish. So you had one match with no finish, which is that. You had Sasha take the belt. You don't know who the champion is, and there was a false finish there. Then you had MVP claiming to be the champion because Apollo Crews couldn't compete. Where is Cedric, by the way?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Somebody tell me where he is.
He was on Raw on Monday.
Yeah, but I'm shocked they're not moving him more, doing more with him.
Well, wasn't he affected by the whole Paul Heyman thing? Like anybody who was a Paul Heyman guy kind of got, like, apart from Asuka, doesn't really get as much TV time as they used to, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm surprised they cooled off that fast on him because he's super talented.
Same thing with Ricochet, man. Like, they cooled off on Ricochet, like, big time.
Yeah.
It's that WWE mentality, man.
This is really weird. I'm going to tell you something. WWE's website is, like, a total clusterfuck.
Is it the Impact website?
It's like the... No, not like the Impact website that Josh Matthews made in WordPress. So, whatever. That was the show. It was a C show. Fine. Now, on Monday, are we getting a new Nation of Domination?
So apparently the rumor was they called Farouk in specifically to usher in a new Nation of Domination, but at the last minute they changed plans.
Yeah.
And they, what are they calling them? The Big Hurt or the Hurt Factory?
Hurt Factory? I don't know. I forgot what it was.
Yeah, it was like, I forgot what MVP kept saying, but it was like the Hurt Factory. It wasn't the Hurt Locker, the Hurt Business. Yeah.
The Hurt Business?
It was the Hurt Business, which is fine. That's a good name for a stable. It definitely gives Lashley and Shelton Benjamin something to do, because as much as I'm lukewarm on MVP, he is very solid on the mic.
Yeah.
You know, and I think he's a good, what WWE now needs, like a guy like MVP, who's a good utility player, in the same way that, you know, they have Rey Mysterio, who can do anything with anybody, right? I think MVP can talk up a good program and you always want to see him get his comeuppance, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, right?
Are you falling asleep?
I'm trying to figure out what. I'm trying to figure this out, right? So I have no hope that WWE would have been pulling this off successfully. This New Nation concept. By the way, the New Nation.
Like, if they actually came out and had, like, New Nation, like, this is the New Nation of Domination.
This is the New Nation. Yeah, this is the Nation of Domination. It's back. You know, they wanted to do this with the New Day. That was the original. They wanted to do this a while ago with them. And they didn't feel comfortable at that time to do it because how is it going to reflect of the company, right? Because these guys were originally heels. It's an old black faction majority, except for Owen Hart, obviously, right? And the guys from Memphis. First of all, Owen Hart in the Nation of Domination is very bizarre. Very bizarre.
It's great.
Very
it's
uncomfortable.
Great.
So, you now, with everything happening in the world, you're going to have the Nation of Domination on TV as a heel, you know? It's not going to go over well. I think somebody got a hold of them and said, guys, maybe we should rethink this.
Maybe no, but I do like the stable. It gives everybody something to do, you know. And you know, if they're going more towards that, WWE keeps teasing like a trios thing, right? And they have been for like a few years, right? You had the Wyatt family, you had the New Day, you had the Shield, you had Sammy, Cesaro, and Nakamura. So maybe this time it'll stick with some kind of trios deal, you know?
Yeah, maybe, maybe. By the way, Owen Hart was in the Nation of Domination because he was the Black Heart.
Right.
That's why. Dave and our chat.
Pretty fantastic.
With the, assist on that. So, I don't know. Raw was Raw. It's fine. They're leading into something. I don't know what. Also, SummerSlam, they finally announced that it's not going to be held in Boston. They said to be determined for the location. I don't know if that means that they're not going to do it at the Performance Center because originally that's where they were planning on doing it, was a Performance Center. But I don't see why they couldn't do an empty building. You know, do it in Boston, be in the big building, attempt that, do something with that. I'm curious why they couldn't just do the building if, you know, everything else is slowly coming back. If they take responsibility and they do an empty building, they could possibly have some sort of different in aesthetics, which is a big problem for them at this point.
I got a pitch for that.
Give me.
Straight up do it in like somebody's backyard.
Yeah. You want to come here? Like, guys, you want to use my backyard?
Yeah. Like, set up a ring in Andrew's backyard. Like a straight up just like a backyard brawl for SummerSlam, you know, like with a like Vince's backyard with the pool where he used to book all the matches with Pat Patterson.
Oh, love it.
Like it's summertime, right? Have everybody just hanging out by the pool, and then when they're ready to do their matches, you know. Somebody plays their entrance through like a home speaker system, and that's it. That'd be a lot of fun. Well, but you know what? WWE doesn't do fun.
They don't do fun. I mean, but they have the ability to do this, right? Like, here's a perfect time. You have this stale aesthetic with all the shows you're producing because it's the same building for every show every week. Yeah. NXT's at Full Sail. This is at the Performance Center. They both look identical to each other. Everything looks the same. The matches all look the same. Even down to the fact that Impact pay-per-view on Saturday, which I did enjoy, it looked like they were doing it from the Performance Center because everybody's the same way. I honestly was trying to figure out where the hell they were because it looked exactly like what WWE's doing. Why couldn't WWE say, you know what, guys, this year's SummerSlam is going to be a bash at the beach?
That'd be amazing.
Okay. Set up the freaking ring, have the tarp on top, have the beach in the background, have the wrestlers in like lounge chairs, in bathing suits, just chilling. You know, the ones that aren't on the show, you could fill it up with a couple hundred people around the ring. There you go. You just created something unbelievable that's going to get you major press. It's going to look great. It's going to look different. It's going to be anything at this point. Anything except for that Performance Center will do. So maybe that is something they're thinking about doing because originally, actually, you know what's really funny? We are now, let me see, we're in July, right? Today was going to be the first live show for WWE. in for today. It was supposed to be today. July 24th was going to be the first live show back at Lakeland, Florida. And I believe what?
I think when COVID started, this is all we talked about for like 2 weeks, right? Like, when is WWE coming back? And we both of us were like, maybe SummerSlam, but clearly that's not happening.
What I find really funny is that I never heard anything about SummerSlam being in front of a live crowd ever, which I find that bizarre. But I did hear the 24th and the 27th being in front of a live crowd. So what they would have probably done was film 2 weeks worth of TV. So 24th, they would have filmed 2 weeks worth of SmackDown, 2 weeks worth of Raw on the 27th. NXT would have still been in the in Full Sail, which is fine. Mm-hmm. And then they just go on like that every 2 weeks. They go back to that old schedule, and for production reasons, way better. You're filming every, you know, you got four shows in 2 days. Now the date, apparently, it was supposed to be the end of August. That's what I was told. And now it looks like it's going to be bumped to the end of September.
Wow.
I'm curious what they're going to do with the 30th, because there is a network special happening on the 30th, the following week after SummerSlam. So that might be the Women's Evolution 2 pay-per-view. Possible.
Okay.
I don't know. Everybody got very quiet about everything after the whole Velveteen Dream thing. I think I upset a couple people with that. By the way, where the hell is he?
Mm-hmm. He's stalking you.
Where is Velveteen? Let's find out.
That's a weird thing, because I feel like every day somebody's been tweeting at you about that.
About Velveteen? I don't have an answer. Yeah. What I was told is that most likely he was going to be fired the following week after that incident. On Friday, I was told that there's a... and I did say I was not able to confirm this with a second or third person about the date of the firing, but that his days were numbered 100%. There's no coming back from this. So, listen, it's a legal thing. So they're waiting. I don't know beyond it. This is exactly what was said to me. So we'll see what happens. But I don't know, man. SummerSlam Bash at the Beach might be a cool idea.
Yeah, that would be great. But you know what? Again, we've established the fact that WWE doesn't do fun. They don't do fun stuff like that. I think their mentality is, let's leave fun to the indies. We're doing serious entertainment programming right now to fulfill our duties to our sponsors. So if you don't like it, you can not watch.
Yeah. Very easy.
Like, it's like an odd thing, because like, from a fan's perspective, I find it very tiresome to watch the COVID era WWE product. Right. Especially with the storyline stuff that's going on, where it's like, oh, this would be so good in front of a crowd. And then you look over at AEW and yeah, they're kicking ass every week. But I got a question for you, Andrew.
Yes, sir.
Do you think if they didn't have Daly's Place, they would also be in the same situation of just having dudes wrestle like in a friggin' warehouse?
Yeah. Yeah. Because we saw them do that. Remember, they did. Didn't they do a show in Atlanta? Mm-hmm. That one show out of the gym.
Yeah.
So I think that would have been the case for them. They're very fortunate that they have Daly's Place, because the show looks magnificent every single week.
Mm-hmm.
It looks great. And that, remember how weird that building was, the first show that they ran, where the hard camera was facing a brick wall?
Yeah.
You know, they were able to adapt very quickly to figuring out how to make that show look good. Instead of, it's like WWE was just shooting an empty crowd for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then AEW was shooting, you know, the stage. So kudos to them for being able to do this. Another WWE news. It looks like Evolve is 100% going on the network by the end of the year. I'm also hearing WXW, which I'm very surprised about. I don't know why WXW. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard anything about that. This is WrestleVotes is saying this. We spoke about Evolve a while ago, that they were going to go on, and WWE was looking to incorporate a lot of indies on their network. I think a lot of people are going to be very happy about this if you're a current indie operating, that you have your content on the network, considering it's going to be a very difficult climb for these companies to return back and to have crowds and everything. So if they can make some sort of money, that'd be great.
Did you have coffee today?
No, why?
Because you're very droopy.
Am I droopy? You want me to liven it up?
You sound like you're reading a book report.
Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm tired.
It's fine. Snap out of it.
Yeah.
Deacon. Deacon, know, bring this
Deacon?
Guy some coffee.
Deacon, I need
splash
some coffee,
hot coffee
please.
In his face.
I need coffee.
I want him to splash hot coffee in your face and then splash hot coffee in your lap.
That's what I want. Let's talk about, Wednesday. Wednesday was a great night for wrestling.
Wednesday was friggin' beautiful, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah. So where do you want to go into this on AEW? While I try to get the
Oh yeah, absolutely. Coffee. I would love to. So they announced at the end of last week, at the beginning of this week, that Cody's doing the open challenge for his TNT title, right? So this week they announced a huge indie star will be facing Cody. And me and Andrew were like, who's it going to be? I was like, Rusev, maybe, you know? Yeah. But when Eddie Kingston showed up, I lost my mind. That dude is one of the top five promos in the business right now.
Holy moly. That promo was fire. Fire.
Yeah.
By the way, can we talk about Eddie Edwards kind of looking like Eddie Kingston now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
I agree with that.
He has like a weird look for whatever reason. When I was watching that Impact main event, I honestly thought it was Eddie Kingston. For like a good 5 minutes. I don't know why.
Do you have a facial dysplasia with every Eddie that you've ever
known? Every Eddie looks the same to me. Every Eddie
looks like
Crazy Eddie, Eddie Murphy, Eddie Kingston. They're all the same to me. All
Crazy
the Eddies.
Eddie, man. I used to love Crazy Eddie.
Yeah. Crazy Eddies? Mm-hmm. Lowest prices.
Not to go there, but I used to love the commercials, and this is like a weird throwback to like the 80s. Was Crazy Eddie regional, or
Crazy
was that
Eddie
nationwide?
Was regional. No, regional.
Okay.
Oh, thank you very much. Just brought me coffee, not Deacon.
That's very sweet.
Mm. Oh my God, this coffee is like mud. Oh. I thought, dude, opening match, right? First match, you had... A thumbtack spot. You had insanity. Oof. It was wild, that match. It was probably, I really want to say it was probably Cody's best match of his career.
I honestly agree with that. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Shawn Michaels versus Mankind, where he brought out that viciousness out of Shawn Michaels. And I think now it's time to take Cody seriously. And Eddie Kingston's so good on the mic. That when he was like, you've been wrestling children for the past, like, who knows how many months.
Yeah.
Right. And he was like, I'm a goddamn man. Here are my thumbtacks. You know, great spot. Great. Like, I'll fake the injury to the leg and all that. I still can't believe Cody took that thumbtack. Like, good for him.
Yeah. I didn't expect him to take it. Right. Did you expect it to? I thought they were going to do like reversal and Kingston will take that spot.
Right.
Didn't happen that way. Cody freaking took it, and it was nasty. There was thumbtacks all over his back and his elbow. They're bleeding everywhere. Kingston did an unbelievable job with the knee injury. He played possum a bunch of times, but at the end, it was actually hurt, and Kofi won with a figure four where Kingston tapped out. He sat on the ramp for a while. I mean, top to bottom, he was phenomenal. Top to bottom, this guy was fire. Queens his own, Eddie Kingston.
Do you think
Jamaica Queens?
You think they're gonna hire him?
Somebody is. I'm gonna tell you that. Somebody's
NXT.
Gonna hire this guy. There's no question about it. I can't imagine him not getting hired by AEW or anybody else. I mean, how can you not hire him? He's so freaking good, and a major asset. Yeah. You know, I think for AEW, it would be the best thing. I don't know how much he'll tone it down in WWE, but this is a guy, you know, he was in Impact. He had a great run in Impact they called him King, right? His name was King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was everywhere.
Yeah, he was doing LAX, and he had a feud with Conan, and it was like this LAX versus LAX, original LAX. I thought that was a great job. He's been on fire in NWA. And now we're seeing him in Impact, in AEW, which phenomenal. Great job. Loved it. Loved everything about it. I can't even, there was nothing wrong with anything with that match. By the way, mm-hmm. Kingston is 38 years old. This guy is going to get paid now. This is the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I thought that was really good.
I think he's approaching like his prime right now, because that was a very stiff, well-worked match. And this dude has worked everywhere, right? Like, he's worked everywhere apart from WWE.
So, like, talking about stiff.
Yeah.
Did you see Darby Allin nearly die?
Oh.
He got knocked out.
As soon as his head... As soon as he had the Enzo. He got Enzo, yeah. Right? Like, as soon as his face hit that rope, oof. Like, that looked like it hurt, and he was ragdoll the entire time.
Oh, my God. So, pretty much what happened, Starks came out and hit him from the back, and I guess it was a little too hard, and he snapped off the rope and got knocked out. I mean, it looked bad. When he did it, I thought I was like, oh, he's either knocked out or he's selling really well. But the concern on Starks' face after he started pummeling him and he's not really moving well was it just told the whole story right there. And then this poor guy took a nasty power bomb after he was knocked out on the ramp. It could not have been good for him. Could not have been a comfortable time for him at that moment. Just looked really nasty. And what else did you like from AEW?
Everything. The whole show was top to bottom excellent. So in the first, this is something I kind of wanted to talk about too. In the first half an hour of the show, not only did you get great wrestling, you got three awesome promos. One from Moxley, one from Eddie Kingston, and one from MJF.
What was the thing Moxley was saying? Moxley said that he had a surprise for everybody. What was the surprise? The bat?
I think so.
That was it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Butcher and the Blade versus Young Bucks was friggin' fantastic.
Dude, I love the Butcher and the Blade. Love them.
Same here.
Love them. I love the Butcher. Love him.
Yeah, he's great. He's great. We had Diamante versus Ivelisse, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And then
Allen Angels versus Hangman. That ended very well, with Brody Lee coming out, Kenny showing up, you know, FTR making the save on Hangman.
And Kenny coming late told the whole story, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was the best part. Here's the thing, though. What do you think they're going to do with Kenny? You think he's going to go full heel?
I have, like, a weird suspicion with what they're going to do with Kenny. I think they're going to turn him, and they're going to turn him while they're doing no crowd shows. But when the crowds come back, he's going to go full babyface. I think they're going to turn him, and you're going to see Hangman join FTR. Kenny maybe turning on the Bucks, and then Kenny teaming with somebody else in the company. Because I think this is going to... Go ahead.
No, unless, you know, if he does a cleaner gimmick, which that's what they're alluding to, right? He's going to be the cleaner. Mm. There's no way the crowd is booing that Kenny. There's no way.
Right.
There's no way he's a heel. Because this is what people have wanted. People want a very aggressive Kenny Omega to do what he was doing in Japan. Mm-hmm. That cleaner gimmick got over. He was aggressive. He was a heel, but he was a fan favorite. He was loved as a heel. He was a cool heel. The whole Bullet Club was a cool heel faction. So I don't see him being a full-fledged heel. I just don't know. Mm. Like, okay, if he's going to play that character, do they do the feud with Hangman? And how does that affect, you know, who wins and who loses?
They can do a nice long program between Kenny and Hangman. Like, Kenny finally snaps, right? Because of Hangman's alcoholism.
Because is that the story? It was too much for him to deal with, or he just lost his mind?
Yeah, I don't know where it's gonna go from there, but I like the one thing we want to get out of AEW is the Bucks versus FTR, right?
That's the match for September. That was supposed to be the match in September in Chicago.
I would also like to see Kingston versus Moxley.
Kingston versus Moxley would be phenomenal.
In like a disgusting hardcore match. Yeah, like a really just like
yeah.
light bulbs, thumbtacks, barbed wire, maybe a little C4.
like mines.
Just like old school Japanese deathmatch style. I think that would be a whole lot of fun. And then the Brian Cage Taz thing is really starting to grow on me.
Which one?
The Brian Cage Taz stuff is starting to grow on me.
So they did a whole thing where on social media, Brian Cage was teasing that he's going to fire Taz. And during the promo, they said, oh, no, I thought about it. You know, he was going to tear his bicep and he did the right call. And this is why he's a great manager. Mm. Taz is great. He's phenomenal. By the way, you want to see the ratings?
Like a potato.
Do you want to?
Let's do the main event and then talk about the ratings.
No. Match ratings for Extreme Rules, really quick.
Oh, really?
Do it. Okay. I got it. Kevin Owens, Murphy, 3.75. Nakamura and Cesaro, New Day, 2.75, which I'm shocked. I thought that match was really good. Mm-hmm. Bayley versus Nikki Cross, 3.25. I thought that match was really good. Mm-hmm. Rey Mysterio, Seth Rollins, 4. Asuka, Sasha Banks, 4. Drew McIntyre, Dolph Ziggler, 4. No rating for the swamp. Match. Yeah.
For the swamp stomp?
Swamp.
That's interesting. So, all right. So, the main event of AEW, Jurassic Express versus Chris Jericho and Jake Hager. Fun match.
Yeah.
Yeah. You watched it, right?
Yeah.
And they kept showing Serpentico in the audience.
Yeah, so right? Serpentico has never been on Dynamite, as far as I know. I think he's done After Dark, but he's always in the audience. I had no idea what was happening when he showed up. Or when they pretended that it was him. Did you know who he was? Were you aware of it?
Aware of the character or aware of who was behind the mask?
No. Like the character.
Yes.
See, it took me a while to figure it out. I wasn't paying attention. And my eyes kill me. Sorry, Rich. I'm out of it today.
No, it's fine.
I thought it was fine. People were upset that he came back early. People were... I saw it on social media that people didn't understand what was happening.
As far as Sammy pretending to be Serpentico.
Yeah.
Taking the Serpentico mask off. And then helping Jericho and the reuniting of the inner circle. Well, obviously, for those that don't know, years ago, Sammy said something awful about Sasha Banks. People came down on him. He had to go to sensitivity training without pay. His pay went to a charitable organization. And now he's back. And that's it. I don't have a problem with it. Whatever. You know, like the dude's back on TV. Inner circle's back, et cetera, et cetera. Good. If they didn't feel strongly about the dude, they would not have him end the show.
Yes, they felt very strong. Very Nitro-ish ending, huh? Attitude Era beat down at the end, the way that it went off the air. Makes you want to come back next week.
That's how wrestling should be, right?
It's no longer like that, and I don't get it. You know, the thing that gripped all of us to wrestling was the end, right? That's what made you, you know, it's a total cluster F. And Jim Ross is saying, guys, we're out of time. We'll see you all next week. And Austin is about to stun somebody and it fades out.
Right.
or, you know, the corporation is beating down on Austin. We got to go. And then you find out next week what happened.
Right.
It's not that anymore. And, you know, I get, listen, pro wrestling needs storytelling. Like we you could see great wrestling anywhere, but great wrestling will not bring in viewership to that extent. Mm-hmm. The athleticism is great. The move sets are great. Everybody is able to put on a great match nowadays. So you need a story, a captivating story that tunes people in. I cannot tell you, and I'm going to be honest here. Majority of people that tuned in during that Attitude Era came for the storylines and definitely not the wrestling because the wrestling was trash. Mm-hmm. It was not good wrestling. It was the storyline. It was the Hogan stuff in WCW, turning on WCW in 96, creating the NWO. You came back every week. Right. Who's next to join the NWO? Who's next to defect to the NWO? On the Raw side, Austin McMahon, The Rock, DX. What's going to happen next? The Undertaker, that bizarro Undertaker Kane storyline. Think about that. Mm-hmm. This guy on Twitter, on Facebook, I'm sorry, YouTube, compiled the entire Undertaker Kane storyline in like 30 episodes. where it's it's actually done very well. I saw it about 3 years ago. It was every tiny detail of this that he aired. And I'm thinking, I go, from my God, think of the long-term storytelling that went on with the debut of Kane and leading up to that match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
That doesn't exist.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
You know, because I think obviously competition breeds invention, right? Yeah. And I think because now there's like no real competition for WWE, and they're starting to regard AEW a little bit, but I think they're so bullheaded that they'll never completely admit that people like watching AEW more than WWE. So you had stuff like that. You had cool shit like DX and The Undertaker and Stone Cold at a necessity. Yeah. Where is the necessity now to make anything entertaining other than having it as a platform for sponsors because they have such a demographic that watches it?
Yeah. Why? See, we find AEW fresh, right? But there are a lot of people that don't. And I don't know if it's because they're not clicking to it or they're just they have a bias. I don't know. I can't tell what it is. And listen, to each his own. But you cannot tell me that the Raw product is better than AEW right now. You can't.
Right.
I'm talking about the current time period. Currently, I'm not talking about the talent on hand. I'm not talking about the superstar magnitude that WWE has compared to AEW. I'm talking about a weekly television show that you watch. What's an easier watch for you? AEW for 2 hours on Wednesdays or 3 hours of Raw?
Oh, forget it. Like, AEW 2 hours on Wednesdays is the easiest 2 hours of wrestling you'll watch.
It shouldn't be that way, guys. It shouldn't be that way. Mm-hmm. Raw should not be difficult for people to watch.
Right.
It should not. And I'm not a WWE. I don't look at WWE and say they suck. I'm not one of these people. I enjoy WWE product. Right. I'm just saying in this current time period, AEW is a better product because it's quicker. It's different. All WWE needs to do is change the look a little bit, change the format a little bit. That's all they need to do. And they have a difficult
time
doing
too,
that.
Right?
Yeah, it's the vibe. It's you know what the next spot is going to be. In every match, I could tell you the minute they're about to go to commercial break, the minute they're about to do that outside spot saying we'll be right back after this, the moment that a promo is about to happen, what the next sentence is going to be in a promo. I shouldn't be able to do that. It shouldn't be that way.
Well, also, I can't help but think about, and this is my own personal thing, I don't know how you perceive it, but I also can't help think about the politics backstage, or like the perceived politics that are like take Cedric and Ricochet, for example. Like, these dudes should have been on the top of the card since they debuted, right?
And what do they
do? For some reason, they're not. Right.
Okay, let's forget about Cedric, right? Forget about Cedric. Ricochet was a much larger name in pro wrestling. Right? At the time that he went to WWE, that was a huge acquisition for them. Huge. This guy was on top of the indies. Everybody was clamoring about him. And they've done nothing. They hurt him as a character so much. Listen, I'm not saying that he was going to be world champion, but you know what? If they booked him properly, you know what kind of feuds he could have had with Rollins, Styles?
Right.
Just two names. But they can't do it because there's so many variables that go into everything that they do. It's not just Rich and myself coming up with and saying, sitting down at the table and saying, you know what? This guy's great. Let's put him over. Let's plan out the next 6 months of this guy's run. And get him to a main position. No, it's not like that. It's 20 writers. They all have different concepts, and they all compromise on the writing. That's how WWE writes. You could have this phenomenal idea, and by the time it gets to TV, you've compromised the whole concept, and it's not anywhere near what you had planned. I hear storyline concepts, okay? I'm told storyline concepts. I'm told character development from the point that it's conceived. By these guys, two good friends that are writers over there. By the things that they tell me that they want to do And by the time it gets to TV 3 weeks later or a month later, it's right. so depressing to know that your creative work, the concept that you worked hard on, now becomes just nothing, bland.
Right.
Why can't there be edge? You know, looking at the ratings, let's talk about that now, Rich. Lowest rated show of all time this week.
Wow.
Do you know what the lowest rated? So I'm going to give you this great thing, right? They hit not just the lowest rated show. I mean, essentially, this was the lowest rated show. They had the lowest rated quarter hour in the 27-year history of this company. Do you want to guess what segment it was?
Ooh, The Big Show, Randy Orton.
Yes. Lowest rated quarter hour segment in the history of this company with two gigantic names in the company's history.
Right.
The largest athlete in professional wrestling next to Andre, you know, that got over. And a flagship put on the lowest quarter hour. There is something wrong.
Yeah.
By the way, the coffee kicked, baby. You saw how that worked?
Good. You're zooted up right now.
It took me a little bit. I'm sorry, Rich. I'm sorry. You want me like this?
Yeah, a little cocaine.
Hold on. Ready?
Snort that blow.
Ready?
Snort that blow.
There you go.
Oh, you're going to do it?
Did it.
Oof. Terrible. It's like you're starting the speedboat.
Yeah. I'm also getting a bunch of news if you want me to spoil some stuff for you. Did you guys see that Matt Hardy video?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Matt Hardy put out a video complaining about how his character's been perceived on TV. Like bitching and moaning. It's a work from what I could understand. Right. He's not happy with the direction. He wrote in the subject, I haven't listened to the full thing, so I need to spend some time watching this, but he says, things haven't gone the way that I initially expected in AEW. I'm in such frustrating times in the world. Maybe it's time for me to be real, to be me, Matthew Hardy. So, listen, I think this is a work. He just went there. Everything is going on. If you cannot be frustrated with the lack of your storyline and your character development in this climate right now, it's a very difficult thing. I think that's a work. The other thing, it looks like Warhorse is going to be Cody's opponent next week.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah, pretty cool. I discovered Warhorse a while ago. Do you know his whole story?
No, but I do like him.
Yeah, I like his. He does this like old school 1980s promo with the face paint. I'm curious to see what they do with him. There's something interesting about this guy.
Do you want old school promos to come back?
I would love it.
Like just straight looking at the camera and talking about a beating that they're going
to
give?
Yeah, that's what I want to do. Just look me dead in the eyes and tell me how you're going to, you know, beat me up. So those were a couple of the hints here happening. Also, let me see.
Here's another weird thing.
Yeah.
Here's another weird thing from Raw. Was this Aleister Black's first clean loss?
No. That's a good question. By the way, $1.99 from Bachelor 3000.
It was, right? MG Geek, Mr. Gonzo?
It was,
yes. It was his first pin, and it was to Rollins. And again, the paranoid fan in me says, this is the political Paul Heyman shit. Paul Heyman's gone. So they're saying, like, yo, F your guys. Like, Paul, the guys you wanted to work on, F them.
Paul had booked Raw till Mania next year. Just think about that, okay? He had
crazy.
Here's the other problem, though. We don't, I do not believe we need Paul Heyman booking. We don't need Bruce Pritchard booking. We don't need these guys. Paul is a phenomenal mind. And as a consultant, he's unbelievable. But you need different people now coming up with different concepts. A Paul Heyman booking job. We saw what he was doing. Lana Lashley, Maria, and Mike. These are Paul Heyman bookings from day one. By the way, Bob Rowe, $5. Rich, you need self-bronzer. You need to get out of my...
You know what? I'm in the sun all the time. It just does not take.
Look at me. I'm orange.
I know.
We need something new on TV. And Bruce Pritchard is not the answer. Listen, talented guy. Nothing to get. This is not a criticism of Bruce. I just feel that you need to change this. And we're hitting a point where once you lose these guys that are viewing every week, once you break that, that habit cycle, they're never coming back. It's very difficult to get back into this once you're gone. It's not easy. I mean, you and I have spoken about this, right? How many times did you fall out of wrestling? Quite a few.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I would say, like, dispassionately, the latest was maybe 2009, but I think definitely, like, WWE for the last, like, since the COVID era of WWE has me severely uninterested.
Yeah, it's not good. It's just not good. And a lot of this is not a blame on them, but the TV, the writing of their TV is a major blame on them. You know, they had a concept. Paul Heyman had a year's worth of story. Just didn't happen. Didn't happen. What else did we
and also, like,
anything else?
Well, I did listen to the Talk and Chop-a-Mania that you suggested last week with Gallows and Anderson and Rocky. Talking about their time in WWE. And that's another weird Paul Heyman thing too, because these guys were just like, yo, F that guy. Like this guy got us fired, you know? Let's talk about the Adam Cole thing.
Okay, let's do it. Go into it.
So, Pat McAfee, former football player, hired by WWE. He actually brought a lot of personality to their NXT broadcast, I think. And I like the dynamic between him and Sam Roberts.
Oh, there you go. Just saw the message.
Got it.
Got it. Thank you.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
That's a good one, right?
Very good. That's the best one.
I was trying to be like sneaky about it.
Yeah, very good.
So McAfee and Adam Cole have a history of going at each other on pre-shows or even like during events. And this has been going on for like the last couple of years, right? So Adam Cole was on a show, was it yesterday or the day before?
Day before, yeah, or yesterday,
and they were breaking each other's chops, and I do think Adam Cole in character blasted out some amazing F-bombs
He lost it on him, and it was in character. A lot of people are saying that it's not. Yeah. It was 100% in character. They've done this on the pre-shows for NXT for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I found it interesting how many people thought it was real, like. He's a professional. Listen, Adam Cole's a professional. He's not going to do something like that without it being an angle. There was nothing that hot in the conversation. It was, you know, obviously. But it was a good job by them because, you know what? It got a whole bunch of press.
Absolutely. Again, people that's what they need, right?
Yeah, that is exactly what they need right now. Shot in the arm like this. Listen, edgy. Yeah. It was edgy. It was different. It was out the box of their normal, how they present things. I'm curious if Pat's going to get in the ring.
He came close, right? He came close at one of the takeovers.
He came very close. I believe he has trained at the Performance Center.
Yeah, why not?
He called.
They love.
It was nice. The best part was when he referred to him as just a punter. He goes out there and just kicks a ball, and he surrounds himself with great people. The whole thing was done well, very well.
Yeah, it was fun. I think this is going to lead up to something. Why not? Right? Like that'll be a lot of fun. What else? What? Anything else major happened this week?
I'm trying to see my notes. I don't have much left. I don't have a lot of scoops. I'm telling you, people have been very quiet, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that people are on, you know, limited staff available.
Yeah.
There
was an interesting, I don't know if this is planned or not, but this dude in Japan, Tetsuya Endo, said he's going to enter the King of DDT 2020 tournament, right?
Okay.
And then when he wins, he says he's going to challenge Kenny Omega to be the number one contender. Which is in November.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
I think that'd be awesome. You know, because, like, awesome. AEW doesn't have that New Japan relationship, but like, why not let Kenny do DDT? Right? Why not let a couple of these guys do what they got? Actually, no, you know what? I'm wrong. They have Mox and Jericho can still do the Japan shows, right?
Mox, Jericho could definitely still do Japan. Kenny technically could, but I think they're you know, they're on some weird, it's just some weird thing going on with them. I don't know what.
No fly zone.
I find that, you know, I don't know why that relationship fell apart. I haven't really asked. I should, because I know someone that would probably know really well what happened exactly. But it fell apart bad, like really bad. And I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that New Japan thought at one point that Kenny wouldn't leave. But
right,
listen, you know, living in Japan, it's difficult. It's not an easy back and forth. You know, Kenny has family here, obviously, in Canada. It's a much easier style on your body. You know, Kenny doing these tag matches. By the way, there's a reason why he's doing a lot of these tag matches. I just want to put it out there. He's been feeling a lot of the stuff that he did early in his career now. So if he could do, you know, calm it down a little bit and have these explosive matches for pay-per-views, great. Kenny was doing that every single freaking night in Japan. He was having a stellar match. So... I think very interesting. I know that the Bucks were a big problem for them, but let's think about who they lost. New Japan lost, right? They lost Cody.
Everybody.
Cody. Mm-hmm. The Bucks. I mean, I'm talking about in like a 2-year time frame. They lost Nakamura.
Right, right.
Nakamura at that time that he left was probably the second or third most popular wrestler in the company, right? So they lost him.
Absolutely.
AJ Styles, that brought major eyeballs to New Japan. Right, they lost him. I'm not even going into the Balor stuff. Right, this is post Balor.
Right, right.
They lost Gallows and Anderson, dominant tag team of their biggest faction. They lost Kenny Omega. They lost the Young Bucks. They lost Hangman Page, which was a up and coming star for them.
Mm-hmm.
They lost Cody, and who else? Somebody else.
Marty, maybe. I guess Marty counts as part
Marty,
of like
yeah, Marty. You know. They lost Marty. Trent Beretta. They lost
Chuck. Yeah.
No, Chuck wasn't there. Was he there?
Oh, okay.
No,
Chuck, he did. They did.
It was Rocky and him.
He was in New Japan.
By the way, Rocky Romero coming back on the show soon. Next week, maybe.
Yes.
Kushida.
Kushida. Yeah. The interesting thing with the New Japan stuff, I feel like from my fans' perspective, the writing was on the wall. They wanted Kenny to do they wanted him to spearhead the American expansion, right?
Ricochet.
Yeah. they wanted Kenny to spearhead the American expansion, and then when he left, I think they were just like, "F this dude," you know, like we took a chance on your Golden Lover storyline in like the most non-traditional Japanese wrestling way, which I feel like was probably poo-pooed on backstage by a lot of guys. And there's a big rumor that Tanahashi hated it. You know,
Tanahashi was not a fan of that style. That's a legitimate story. A lot of people thought it was a storyline. You're absolutely right. Mm. That was legitimate. Tanahashi was not a fan of Kenny Omega's style.
Yeah.
Not a fan. But those guys, how many times did they work together? They didn't have a lot of matches together, right?
Mm-mm. I feel like there was friction there.
Well, they were going to have that ladder match. Who was he supposed to have the ladder match with originally?
Who, Kenny?
Kenny, yeah.
It wasn't Tanahashi?
Maybe it was Tanahashi and he got hurt, but like, they also did something weird with Nakamura when he left. He was supposed to have a match and they didn't do it.
Right. I think when Nakamura left, it was supposed to be him versus Kenny for the Intercontinental title.
Possibly.
And that never happened.
I think so.
Right. I'm trying to, because this is like, the last 3 years, right? It's
so
like a blur.
If you're New Japan, you have to be, listen, they had the biggest raid of talent in the history of that company happen. And I'm not talking about, you know, people leaving when Inoki was there, all that. Mm. This was a... Mike Elgin, that was it. Mike Elgin was another guy they lost. Lance Archer, another guy that they lost. So you got to look at this roster.
I think he can still do it.
Who, Lance?
Lance Archer, yeah.
I could remember that something happened. I don't know. Yeah, Kenny and Tanahashi were supposed to have the ladder match, and then it ended up becoming Elgin, which was a very good match.
Okay.
Shibata had to retire. New Japan, I could see why they're pissed.
Mm.
But You want to do a North American expansion, you don't have TV in North America anymore. And that's the other thing. They lost access, right? So they lost Jim Ross on commentary, and they lost access. Why not partner with somebody that has TV? It looks like Impact is going to possibly be doing something with them. I'm hearing rumblings that they're talking because of the Cyrus connection. So,
and Gallows and Anderson, too.
Gallows and Anderson are there. So something, there's momentum happening. There's something happening, but I think everything is delayed now because of, you know, the current climate of the fucking planet. So I what makes sense to me is have New Japan and AEW working together, right? You could, and have the North American title on AEW TV. That's their North American championship. It's on there, and that sells New Japan World for their pay-per-views. And you could do vice versa. U.S. champ. You could have something going vice versa. You know, that's the only title defended there. And then you have, you make something special. Maybe you do have Tanahashi that shows up, and then it works to a New Japan show. And then maybe you do have an American show up, and that leads to a an AEW pay-per-view. For AEW's sake, they don't want to make the same mistake, and this is what I was told that Ring of Honor did, by concentrating so heavily on talent that's not theirs.
Yeah.
However, I think for New I think for Ring of Honor, they had no choice. They had to do it that way.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. But so the landscape going forward, would you be cool with the an Impact New Japan deal?
Yeah. Did you watch the pay-per-view, the Impact pay-per-view?
I watched the highlights.
Okay. I ordered the pay-per-view. That's the first time in a very long time I actually ordered an Impact pay-per-view. Generally, I watched the clips the following day. I enjoyed that show. The buzz that Impact got from that was tremendous compared to, you know, previous shows that they've put on where nobody talks about it, nobody does anything. I got a message and broke my brain for a second. Sorry, guys.
Are you okay?
They had,
is it a ghost? Are you being haunted?
It's a ghost. I'm being haunted. I've been haunted for years. This is the haunting has been happening for years now with my life. when you looked online, I think they released that this was the highest rated pay-per-view that Impact has done in God knows how long. Probably going back to, you know, the Kurt Angles and the Hogan era and all that stuff. I mean, they did a very strong number in a time. In a time where nobody really, you know, is really hot on the product. But they did a great job on that show. Gallows and Anderson being there is going to help. The Great North is a great tag team.
Yeah, yeah.
I enjoyed the show, and I cannot remember the last time I really enjoyed an Impact pay-per-view.
Yeah, and plus you have like Heath, Rhino, Myers, Gallows and Anderson, Eric Young's back. I think you're going to be in for like some cool stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see what happens. All right, guys. Let's do our Q&A. This is our mailbag segment. Submit your questions in the chat room. We're going to give you guys a minute to submit it over there here on YouTube, where we got about 50 people watching because nobody knows we're live right now because we're doing a Friday show, which is fine. I kind of like this. I like the small group aspect of this. Submit your questions in the chat room. Also, we're almost at 4,000 subscribers here on YouTube. That was our goal for the year. We wanted to build our YouTube page more and more. We're almost at 4,000, so hit the subscribe button here on YouTube. Hit the like button. Tell your friends. You could also subscribe to us. We're everywhere podcasts are available. You could subscribe to us there. I believe we're going to have our video on Spotify in the coming weeks. They reached out to us and asked us if we want to submit our video on Spotify. So we're going to be on Spotify with the video. The video is available also anywhere. But I always tell people, watch it on YouTube. It's the best service. My hosting provider is not so great for the video. It's going to be a little slow. But the best video you're going to get is on YouTube. You want to listen to the podcast on the go. You could do that with any podcast application. Just search for the Matt Men Podcast and you'll find us there. All right. Question time. Do you want to read the questions?
Where will Zack Ryder show up at?
I don't have any insight on that. But I'm gonna say AEW. What do you think?
I think so too. I think he's gonna end up being one of the challengers for Cody's TV title.
Actually, I may take that back because Brian Myers is on Impact.
True.
Wow, I just got some big news.
Hit me.
I have not confirmed this, but this is coming from somebody that has been spot on. I'm being told that Edge and Daniel Bryan have been added to the creative team for WWE.
Oh, fantastic.
I got to confirm. I just had it go right to me. This is our Q&A segment, so I thought I'd bring it up here. Very interesting. That's very interesting. And two great minds.
Great. That's great. I think Edge could book the shit out of anything.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, Rich. I interrupted you there. But do you think... I'm thinking maybe Impact, because you saw that photo of all the WWE guys in Impact just giving the finger?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. That was great.
Yeah, so maybe he'll go there. I don't know. Good question, though. All right.
Here's another one. Hang on 1 second. Oof. Any wrestler that you've ever seen in person whose physical stature wowed you?
Wowed me in a bad way or wowed me in a good way?
Let's do both. Let's say wowed you in a bad way and wowed you in a good way.
I'll tell you, very, very easily. RVD wowed me in a good way. I did not realize how
big dude, right?
He is thick. He's a big dude. He's a very big dude, and you don't really get that on TV. But this guy was like 200. I saw him in like, what was it, 98, 99 at the Wrestling Universe. When it was on Springfield Boulevard. Not when it was on. It was right by Cardozo High School, so I used to go there every day and get tapes from Jack. I saw him there, and he was a big guy. Very impressive. In a not-so-impressive way, people are going to be shocked. Matt Hardy, years ago. Now, I'm not talking about current.
Really?
Like, Matt in his worst, when Matt was not doing so great, I saw him at a wrestling convention. Might have been 2012 or 11 or 13.
Oh, when you went to the big event with Jess?
Yeah. I went to go see our buddy Stevie there, Stevie Richards. Yeah. And because it's like 10 minutes from our house where the big event was. And I saw Matt Hardy and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And Danny Davis was hitting on my wife. He really loved her. So
Matt Hardy is okay. My two would be 1999, I came across Bam Bam Bigelow, and that dude was gigantic. And I was like, holy shit, this guy's big. On the opposite end of the spectrum, when we went to that Ring of Honor show, and I ended up meeting the Viking Raiders War Machine, and I was like sad that I was taller than them.
Yeah, they're small, they're not tall.
I was like, ah, you know, I'm also like 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah, you're
and I kind of wanted. I wanted them to be like 6'5", 6'6". Yeah. I wanted them to be like giant MFers. And I was like, you guys are like 5'10", which is fine. But
so let me think. Let me get another one here. I like this. Impressive stature. Taz was weird when I met Taz because he's so wide. And this is like peak Taz, you know? He's a big dude too, which you don't get that impression when you compare him to WWE guys. I think that's the thing. Oh, you know what? Cody. When we saw Cody at Evolve, this is a big dude.
Big dude, yeah.
Drew? Very interesting.
At Evolve also?
Oh, Drew is huge. Drew, but I mean, he looks big, but Drew is gigantic. Gigantic. I think the thing is, when you go to these indie events, you start realizing how small a lot of the guys are, and WWE does a great job at like how they film. Like Johnny Gargano. Johnny Gargano is a very small guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's ripped as hell. He's athletic, but he's small in stature, so... you don't really, you kind of see it, but it's way more. Marty's small too. When I met Marty, you know, but he kind of looks, he looks exactly like he looks on TV. So I don't know. Bob Rowe in our chat room, where is SummerSlam headed? That's a great question. They have not announced it. It's not in Boston. I'm a little surprised. I was told it's going to go to the Performance Center, but they may be working on something different now. I know they want to do something different because they're realizing that the aesthetics suck. All right. What else do we have?
Let's see. Shin, who is good enough to take the title off Drew out of who is available during the pandemic?
Who is good enough to take the title off Drew that's available during the pandemic? So we're not going to count Lesnar, obviously. We're not counting Roman Reigns.
Right.
That's a great question. I don't know. That people would enjoy, right? You know what I would love to see? Well, Edge is hurt. He can't do it. I was going to say Edge. Daniel Bryan's not going to do it because his wife is going to give birth soon. Nikki Bella, I believe, is going to give birth in a week or a couple days. She made a post today saying that she was like getting ready. That's a great question. Well, I'm going to pass to you.
That's a tough one. I do see Drew hanging on to that belt for a very, very long time. I don't think there's anybody on the roster currently that's a viable contender to dethrone him before there's a show in front of a crowd. You know, I think once we get the crowds back, I think you're going to get a really awesome program between him and Roman Reigns. That's just my gut instinct. I think you're going to have a nice,
Yeah, him and Roman would be good. I know the plan was Lesnar for SummerSlam. That's what they were doing. By the way, did you see that picture of Rusev?
He's looking big.
Dude.
Jacked.
He's looking remarkable. Maybe he's coming back to WWE.
You never know, man.
So look at the chat room. I'm looking at this. Similar to Andrade dethroning him. Maybe Andrade could do it. Andrade could beat him. That's a built-in storyline. It looks like Lashley, they're going to build him up to be a major opponent again. Orton maybe could beat him, believably.
Yeah, I know. Orton, absolutely. But like Orton's old hat at this point, you know, like they can put the title on him and he'll have a run for like 2 months and whatever. You want to do the next question? Go ahead, sorry.
I just want to, no, you pick it, but I'm gonna say, you know what's the most daunting thing from all this today? Shin is 6'6".
I was gonna say that. I was gonna work that into my next comment, but yes, I agree. Shin, I can't believe you're 6'6".
I can't believe that either.
6'9".
I can't believe that either. I'm actually shocked.
Yeah. Shin, when are you gonna come to New York so we can all hang out together?
Oh man. I just want to chill with Shin all day. I want to eat snacks. I want to watch women's wrestling with him because I feel like that's what he likes. He likes women's wrestling a lot. I don't know why I feel that way. He's really into like women's independent wrestling. I want to do that.
Like stardom?
And I just want him to like heckle Deacon and maybe watch him Dragon Ball Z with him because I feel like he likes DBZ.
What's the better plan for you, Shin? Do you want to do all that with Andrew, or do you want to team up with me and 3D Deacon through a table? In the living room where the studio is.
By the way, Shin said, "Wow, nailed it." That's awesome. Great.
Okay,
you know, I look forward to seeing him in the chat room just so he heckles Deacon. Too. I absolutely love it. All right, go pick some questions. I'm enjoying this.
Do you think the AEW's women tag team division, this is from Large 23, do you think the AEW women's tag team division will be better than WWE's women's tag team division? Things are going to be equally as bland.
Yeah, I'm not very impressed by the women's division in AEW. It's not a great division. I mean, yeah, they have talent, obviously, but there's really they got to get it moving. You know, and also accessibility to a lot of talent. A lot of the UK talent's not available. A lot of the Japanese talent's not available. A lot of the North American talent's not available. So I'm going to give them, I'm not going to make a judgment on them, but I do think that the WWE has a much stronger women's division than AEW.
I agree with that.
Okay.
When I was watching AEW the other night with my wife, we were just kind of like bullshitting about that. And I enjoy the AEW's women's division, but there's maybe like two, like Hikaru Shida and Britt Baker are the only two that pop out for me, right?
Whereas Britt Baker's good.
On the WWE side, you have like, they pop in a very interesting way. It's Asuka, Sasha Banks, Bayley, Kairi Sane, right? You have Charlotte Flair. Like you... When you see these women, Shayna, you're like, oh, they can work and they're stars.
Yeah.
Right. I think the interesting thing with AEW right now is that we're watching them develop these personalities, which is really cool. But on the other end, you can tell when somebody's polished and when somebody isn't. Right.
Yeah. It's very obvious. Because they don't have that. WWE knows how to mask everything. Smoke and mirrors top to bottom. You know, I don't know if you were on Sunday when I was bringing this up, but they showed something on WWE about on their website about the debut of the four horsewomen, right? So you saw I think it was when who debuted all together? It was Bailey, it was Sasha, and it was Charlotte, right? They all three of them debuted together.
And then Becky later.
And
right?
Becky, yeah. So I don't know if Becky was in the photo that I saw, but I was looking at Sasha and I was looking at Charlotte more than anything else. And you're like, oh my God, they have developed these characters into something unbelievable. Like just the overall presence and how they look. Like Charlotte was, there was nothing special about Charlotte. There was nothing special about Sasha Banks when she showed up. It really, it was just bland. And then they have been able to take this and make it into everything any talent does in WWE. And you're talking about only a couple years ago. Everybody looks top to bottom perfect.
Right.
The outfits are perfect. The everything is perfect. I mean, the hair, the makeup. I mean, guys, too, for the guys as well. I think that masks a lot of it, and AEW hasn't hit that point yet.
Well, also, I think the interesting, like, and this is not a knock on anybody, but like, for example, I was when we were watching AEW the other day, and it was the Hangman versus the Allen Angels match. And the Dark Order was on top of the stage, and you know, like they're watching the match or whatever. My wife was like, who are these jerk offs? Like these guys, all these guys look like shit. Like, who are they? You know? And I was like, that's very interesting because like, take a look at Hangman, that dude, great tights, great outfit. He had the sequins with the horse and the, you know, it says Hangman on the side, very polished, right?
Yeah.
Guy's got a couple of bucks in his pocket. He's been at this for a while. He can get the good tights, right? Get good stuff made. It helps enhance the whole thing. Whereas like the Dark Order guys, you know, like apart from Brody Lee, they all still have that indie shine to them.
Yeah.
You know, there's no seamstresses working 24/7 to construct like these perfect outfits, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not a knock. It just is what it is. And I think that ruins your perception of wrestling on TV because every outfit in the WWE looks amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's gear looks top to bottom friggin' awesome.
Yeah. Thoughts on AEW's new Italy TV deal. So for people who don't know, WWE was dropped from their station in Italy and replaced with AEW because of their terrible ratings.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They've been doing terrible in Italy. By the way, their UK numbers are not much better. WWE does really bad in the ratings for SmackDown and Raw. But however, AEW is on a much better station than them and does double their viewership.
Oh, wow.
By the way, when we talk about the viewership, because of how it's presented, right? The timing and everything. AEW is doing like 32,000 viewers and WWE does like 10, 12. There were weeks that Capital Wrestling on the Fight Network in the UK was beating Raw and SmackDown. Astronomically in the ratings.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they're not positioned well. I don't know what that means when you look at it. The Canada numbers are okay, WWE's. I don't know. You know what? I need to get those ratings. I'm curious what they're getting in Canada for AEW and WWE. Very curious. I want to figure that out. All right. What else do we have?
Who would... hang on. I had it right here. From Work to Shoot Wrestling, who should and who will defeat Cody and Moxley for their championships?
Ah, that's cool. Who should defeat Moxley for the championship? Maybe I'm going to go Kenny.
I'll agree with that.
No, you know what? I don't want to see that match again.
Why not?
I'm going to go MJF.
That's supposedly the next feud, right? I don't think MJF should have the title right now. Obviously, in the future, you know, like he's going to have like a nice title run. But I think keep that belt on Mox for like a good long time. And then it needs a proper build, right? So I think heel Kenny versus Mox would be fantastic.
Yeah.
I think it depends. It depends because Mox is like, he's the cool face, right?
How about Rusev beating Cody?
I'd be okay with that. Or, Zack Ryder, if they sign him.
Somebody. I think that TNT title, I think Cody is a great first champion. And by the way, they're doing the same thing they did with the AEW main title, right? The world title. You have an established guy that's, you know, a veteran that has the title, and whoever gets it next will be the guy. So maybe for Cody's sake, it should be MJF. MJF gets the TV title, hangs on to it for a while, cuts these unbelievable promos, does the open challenge where he's just beating, you know, nobodies. And then finally you have the guy after a couple months that you want to push beating him. I as far as Mox goes, I don't know, because he has such a unique style. Right. I don't know who could gel with that on a unbelievable, you know, match. That would be at that level. I don't know. I'm curious who. You're right. Maybe Kenny would be the best one. I'm still going maybe MJF. I don't know who else they have on that top tier. Who else do they have?
If they do something cool with Pac when he comes back, that would be awesome.
Okay, Pac. I definitely don't think it's going to be Brian Cage.
No, not for a while.
Yeah.
No, all these, like, I think a lot the cool thing about the AEW roster is a lot of those dudes could certainly hold that belt. You can see Darby Allin, Brian Cage, Lance Archer, Cody, MJF. You could see all these dudes hold that heavyweight championship, right?
I could tell you that there is no plan for Darby Allin to hold the title.
Hey, listen, man, you never know.
You never know. Imagine Hangman, you get Super Jack.
Kenny.
Can you imagine that?
That'd be great. Great underdog story, you know? You can see any one of these dudes hold this title at some point in their careers. Jericho gets another run. Sammy Guevara gets a run. Jack Hager gets a run. You know, like, you can do 1 week title runs like they did in Attitude Era, right?
Yeah. You could do that. I'm trying to think who else could do this.
Penta. Penta versus Mox would be friggin' unbelievable.
Penta, I would. You know what? That's a good one to see. Mm-hmm. I would love to see. How about we bring? You know what? You know what I want to see? This is what I want to see. You ready for this? For Darby Allin.
Go ahead.
I want him to get super jacked. Like, I want him to get super jacked and come back, and that's his thing, right? But wait, I want him to look like the, what's his name? Jerry Only from the Misfits.
Just like the devil lock and the face paint.
Well, do you remember when he was super jacked in WCW?
Yes. He's a big dude. Yeah. Like, yeah. I met Jerry Only. That's a good one. I met Jerry Only at a Comic-Con a few years ago, and he was sitting down at a booth and nobody was around. And me and my buddy were like, what's going on? We started bullshitting with him, and he stood up and I was like, yo, this dude is maybe like 6'5", 6'6". Like, natural,
dude,
and I was blown away by that. Yeah,
he was really jacked. I mean, at one point, this guy was a big dude. That's what I want to say. Yeah, I want Jerry Only. I want to be like a Jerry Only gimmick. He just comes out with the guitar and skateboard, and he has like the eyeliner on. He's super jacked, like way too big for his body.
Oh, how would you like Cody versus Vampiro?
Vampiro, not now. I would have loved to see that years ago. Years ago, yeah. All right, what else?
I mean, like, Lucha Underground, Vampiro kind of rocked when he had, like, I guess that was, like, his final match, right?
Lucha Underground? Yeah, he died. Didn't he die in there?
I think so. According to Mr. Gonzo, Triple A postponed Triple Mania, and Kenny is still their champion.
Kenny is still their champion, yeah. I find that funny that he's Triple A's world champion and Moxley is the U.S. champion for New Japan.
That's pretty dope, I gotta say. That kind of stuff really does it for me with wrestling, where it's like, but he's the champion over here, and then, like, this guy can go this way, and this guy can do this. Do you think AEW is going to get Rey Mysterio?
No, I think he's staying with WWE.
You think so?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool if he shows up on Wednesday and beats Cody for that title?
Love it.
At some point.
That'd be awesome. Lance Archer could beat him for the TV title. That's another good pick.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of guys for that TV title. I just don't know who they have for the world title right now that's established enough.
Mm.
All right. What else do we have? Anything else?
We got one more from Hothead.
Okay. Let's do it.
Following up on my question from a few weeks ago about AEW running a 40% Sears Center, does AEW still have a deposit on the Sears Center for All Out?
Yes, they do. AEW still has a deposit on there. I asked last week if it was they still had it. They said yes. Who told me? Not AEW. Somebody connected with them. I spoke to someone in the Sears Center, somebody that works there that's a fan of ours, a while ago. he did not think it was happening at the Sears Center. This was like a month ago, though, you know? So I don't know. I don't know what the plan there is, but they definitely want to have a live show. I think everybody, listen, I think everybody's getting very antsy right now. They want to have live shows. Everybody wants live shows.
Absolutely.
Baseball's really weird without a crowd. I'll tell you that.
Hey, baby. Today's opening day for the Mets.
I know. Opening day, baby. Let's see what happens. 4 o'clock, they're playing. Which
I'm
I'll
excited.
Watch
I'm barbecuing a little bit after this.
Nice. Good for you.
Yeah.
Conrad still has a deposit for StarCast around All In 2.
Oh, wow.
Last I saw. Yeah, so, I mean, they're waiting. They have a very good relationship with them over there at the Sears Center. Very good relationship. So, I it doesn't really mean much that they have the deposit because I know that they're not going to screw them out of that building. It brings a lot of money to that building. WWE doesn't run the Sears Center. So, we'll see what happens. You know, a month from now, it's maybe a different story. You know, a month from now, we could either have I don't know. Do you think it's going to be really good in a month?
No.
I don't know.
No, you know, I think we're
this anymore.
We're looking at January, dude. At Shit. This point, we're looking at January.
Come on, man. I need to open my businesses. I got to open my clubs.
Better start stocking up water. Are you guys doing drive-through lap dances?
That no. Thank God. I'm looking at New York. I mean, listen, New York's numbers are really stellar. New York's doing great right now, but I understand you can't. The second you open things up again, it's going to start getting bad again. So we don't. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm done speculating with this. I nobody knows anymore.
Right.
This isn't something I can predict. I don't know what to do. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
299 days since the last Mets live game. Bob Rowe with the stat.
Crazy.
All right, one more. Let's do one more question, guys. One more question. Any predictions for SummerSlam card? I have no idea.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, one more question here.
Deegan says he's going to get a UPS driver outfit and sneak into Citi Field to say he's got to deliver important baseball items.
That's actually really funny. Mm-hmm. I am here with baseball items. He just wants to be, you know, his fantasy in life is that he's Doug Heffernan.
Uh-huh.
And he's married to Carrie, and you know, like that's the fantasy he has in life. That's his goal in life. He wants to be Doug Heffernan from King of Queens. You know how many times I get asked that? Do you get asked that a lot with like viewers
what?
Asking if your life is like King of Queens?
No, you know what I do get? I get, and this is going to be a joke in and of itself, but the one question I do get is when people find out my wife is Greek, they go, oh, just like that movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, because
oh
you're not
really?
Greek. And
that's
I'm
really funny.
I'm like, yes, it's exactly like
but
that.
But you're close you know? Enough, you know?
I don't need to know meat, blah, 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 blah.
What
but her,
mean
her family's not off the boat,
meat.
You know?
No, they're not off.
That's
they're
like
very
an,
Americanized.
Yeah, yeah. So
except her, though.
That's
except
the one
her.
Question I get.
No, no, her family's Americanized, except for
yeah, that's
her.
Right.
you know what happened with, okay, we could tell the story, right? So Vicky grew up here, obviously. And when she was 13 years old, she bumped her head in Greece.
Yeah.
And after that, she forgot about her identity in America. She thought that she's like native Greek and she speaks English with a broken accent.
Oh, yeah. It's like a complete sitcom storyline. She got hit in the head with the coconut. She got hit in the head with a hard gyro and forgot who she was.
A stale gyro.
Mm-hmm.
We put the rocks in a gyro now. that's how they eat it in Greece. They just eat rocks in their gyro. That's a fact, boys and girls.
They
go
combos.
Down to the beach. They collect the rocks. They put it in, put the sauce in the meat, and they go, here you go. No, I get asked all the time. At least I used to. I haven't in a while. But they used to ask me, how, like, is my house like King of Queens? Like, do I live in a house like that? Is Queens really like that? And I don't live in a house like King of Queens, but my father does live in my basement.
Mm.
So, and I got a loudmouth Italian wife. So that kind of works, right?
So you're agreeing with it.
I got an Italian Puerto Rican wife. So, yes, I'm living the life. I'm Doug Heffernan in this universe.
That is true.
So let's see, one more.
I keep. Yeah, go, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I always confuse King of Queens with Everybody Loves Raymond, but
I
know it's a spinoff.
By the way, you want to know the most unlike. If I find Carrie from King of Queens, Carrie Heffernan, to be very attractive on that show.
Mm-hmm.
Just sure. it's the epitome of a girl from Queens. That is the dumper? Epitome. I love it.
You like that dumper.
Love the dump, the dumper. The dumper. However, you want to watch the total opposite. Uh-huh. Is everybody loves Raymond. I hate the wife. I hate the mother. Mm-hmm. That is a Long mm-hmm. Island family. Yuck. Mm-hmm. They suck. The brother mm-hmm. that's a giant sucks.
Well,
Ray
I call
Romano
him
sucks. The wife, what's the wife's name? Diane?
I don't know.
I don't even know. The mother, they what? All suck. Like I hate Romano?
Them. Oh, you know, my wife, my mom, my mom.
My brother.
My brother. you know, my mom.
I hate it. I don't get it.
I like Brad Garrett, who plays his brother. I've called him Brad Garrett, the monster from Everybody Loves Raymond. That's like what he's credited as, at least in my head.
Yeah. I hate Ray Romano. He sucks.
One more question?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Hey, guys. This is from Faustino Vargas. Hey, guys. Do you see WWE or AEW shutting down if cases continue to go up in Florida? No, I do not.
I don't either. They're not shutting down production.
The show must go on.
The show must go on. That's you know, and this is quite morbid, right? This is quite morbid. But WWE saw a man die at a pay-per-view.
Oh yeah.
And they kept the show going.
They don't care.
They are still going to run constantly every week. They're going to run their show. AEW too. Listen, those guys are doing okay. You know, they're doing proper screening. They're doing all the right stuff. That's the most that you could ask for. I believe in being responsible, but I also believe in not shutting down the entire freaking planet for this. At this point, you got to do something. You got to take proper precaution. You got to move forward. You got to do all the right things. But I don't agree with just shutting all the production down. Just not. Not going to happen.
I don't agree with gross people. I think there's too many gross people that we can't hold accountable. Also, next week, can we do the show in Ray Romano voices?
Hey, you know, my wife.
I want to talk about Drew McIntyre.
You know, I love that Dolph Ziggler guy.
Oh, man. Let's talk about Kenny America. Any voice I do turns into a vampire of some sort.
You know what I found? I found that photo of Bobby Lashley dressed like Grandpa Al Lewis that Jonathan made a while ago. And it has to be the greatest thing I've ever seen. I literally laughed out loud just staring at my phone. It was that funny.
I love that one. And I have one on my phone, too, where he's wrapped in mummy bandages.
Everybody Loves Mat Men will be our Ray Romano spinoff. All right. Time to wrap it up. I got to pee so bad. I drank so much liquids. I had like 2 cups of coffee while we were doing the show. Go to our website, GFQnetwork.com. Go subscribe to us. We're everywhere. Podcasts are available. By the way, we're almost at 4,000 subscribers here on YouTube. Do us the favor and subscribe. We need, I think, 7 more subscribers to hit 4,000. And the next goal will be 5 and 6 and 20. We're doing this.
We're doing it, baby.
It's a new world. Hit the subscribe button and subscribe to us. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll be back next week, obviously. Follow us on Twitter, at MattMenPodcast. You can follow me, at Andrew Zarian. You can follow Rich, BTC Rich. Join the Facebook group. Join the Discord. Everywhere. We're everywhere. We'll see you all next time. Take care.
Hell yeah.